Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, September 27th. A program called the Ice Lab was in Paonia and Delta this week to help businesses in the area get off the ground. Ice Lab is run through Western State University and serves both Gunnison and Delta counties. The program facilitates entrepreneurship and economic growth through a classroom setting and also in outreaches to local communities, which is what brought them to Paonia and Delta this week. KVNF News spoke with Dan Marshall, Programming Director for the Ice Lab, at the Paonia Votech on Tuesday to find out the details. First, we asked him what the Ice Lab does.
Ice Lab stands for ingenuity, entrepreneurship, and then creativity. And so not in that order, of course. We do a wide range of things. And so since I'm doing the programming, we do an accelerator once a year. Next year, we'll be doing an additional accelerator with the Outdoor Retail Show, with AIM Media, with a group called OIA, which is Outdoor Industry Association. So all those groups are kind of teamed up for the Outdoor Retail Show that used to be in Salt Lake and now is over in Denver. And so we'll be running their accelerator, so the outdoor recreation-focused national accelerator starting next year. We also are doing what we call an incubator, and so accelerator, incubator, weird words, but incubator is more of a slower process, and so it's someone that has that idea on like a bar napkin, for instance, and wants to build their business and take it off the ground, and so that's a six-month program. We do that on a revolving 12-month time frame. And so we also do that. We have businesses from Montrose, from Telluride, from all over, because we also offer that programming virtually. And so we have 14 businesses going through that program.
The programming from Ice Lab focuses on helping Delta and Gunnison counties recover economically from the loss of coal mine revenue. Five businesses visited with Engage Delta County, a group that has similar economic development goals. Here's Marshall talking about why Ice Lab visited Paonia.
Well, our program is funded through an EDA grant. And so Ice Lab is kind of, through when we applied for the grant, it was on behalf of Delta and Gunnison counties. And so providing economic development due to closures in mines, mostly on the Gunnison side with the Somerset Oxbow Mine. And the reason why that impacts both counties is the revenue generator, the tax dollars generated off the mine, but also how it impacted Delta County as well. And so most of the employees or the people that staffed the mine came from Delta County. And so we're charged with providing programming that instills an economic drive for that, for both of those counties. And so we're over in Paonia for 2 days this week, and we'll be down in Delta tomorrow, just doing some of our programming over here. And so we have what we call a cohort. And so they're going through a 12-week program to where they're generally in the Ice Lab 3 days a week. Two of those businesses are from Delta County, and three are from Gunnison County. And so this is the first time that we've brought our classroom over here to the Engage sites.
Over the next few days, we'll look at some of the ballot questions facing Colorado voters in November. Amendment X would remove hemp from the state constitution. This may seem like a way to curb Colorado's thriving hemp industry, but as Esther Honig reports, supporters say it will keep the state competitive as federal laws may soon change.
In college, Garrett Haas majored in computer science, but saw more opportunity in agriculture. 2 years ago, he took over his grandparents' farm in Lafayette and replaced the fields of alfalfa with rows of hemp.
I have a few different varieties. These ones are T1 right here. They're Trump hemp is what they're called.
No, the plants don't bear any resemblance to the 45th president. In fact, at this point in the growing season, they look more like miniature Christmas trees. Like most Colorado hemp, this 5-acre crop will be used to make cannabidiol or CBD oil.
Tinctures, oils, capsules.
It's the first year Haas expects to break even, and it's also an important election year for him and other hemp growers because of Amendment X. If approved, the definition for industrial hemp would be removed from the state constitution and put into the state statute.
I'm still a little confused of the differences in the constitutional versus the statute.
It's a complicated issue to unpack. For starters, laws in the state statute aren't as powerful as those written into the Constitution.
At first blush, I think it could appear as if we're trying to make hemp illegal again.
That's Democratic State Senator Steve Fenberg. He's a primary sponsor of Amendment X.
And we're by no means doing that. In fact, there's a chance that if we don't do this, the law could conflict in a way that it actually makes it so our hemp industry kind of suffers.
In 2012, Colorado became one of the first states to legalize hemp. It was written into the Constitution that industrial hemp cannot contain more than 0.3% THC. That's the same stuff in marijuana, its cousin plant that gets you high. But recently, the federal government has gotten serious about national legalization. This summer, the U.S. Senate introduced a bill, and it could have a different definition of industrial hemp than what's in our Constitution. Hunter Buffington is the executive director of the Colorado Hemp Industries Association. She says that would be a major setback.
So it's really good public policy to actually move it from the Constitution and put it someplace where it can be modified.
Laws in the statute can be changed by a state lawmaker, whereas changing the Constitution requires voter approval. That's why hemp was put in the Constitution in the first place.
It really was put there to protect it in the very beginning and to make sure that it wasn't going to simply be removed the next year.
That gave farmers the confidence to invest in the crop. But now, 3 years later, Buffington and Fenberg agree that Amendment X would give the state the flexibility it needs to keep up with the changing federal regulations. And as more states begin growing hemp, Fenberg says Colorado won't lose its edge.
We want to make sure we're not disadvantaged in a way that actually puts us behind in any way.
Still, Amendment X creates some uncertainty for growers like Garrett Haas.
I sense that you're hesitant. You're like, I just want it to stay the way it is.
Pretty much. For at least a couple years, I don't want anything to change too much.
Like all of Colorado's hemp farmers, Haas has built his business according to current regulations. He spent a lot of time and money growing specific types of hemp that don't produce too much THC.
So it's constantly testing and just make sure that each strain doesn't go over that percentage threshold.
But if the federal government changes the definition by, say, allowing for 1% THC, it undermines all that work. While he thinks there could be benefits to approving Amendment X, Haas says as a business owner, the prospect of change has him feeling pretty anxious. I'm Esther Honig.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, September 27th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.